you bribe the right politicians in the right order at the right time, you can trade the nuclear warheads for medicine, and it's not even a crime. $1 on clinical trials, $600 on making you dead. Your leaders aren't evil.
Every dollar in your wallet is a death certificate with a president's face on it. I know that sounds dramatic. It isn't. It's actually underselling it. The problem: every fiat currency in history has been devalued to fund unpopular wars. Here's a historical pattern that definitely won't repeat itself. It will. Revolutionary France, 1790s. Started wars with everyone. Ran out of money. Printed assignats backed by stolen church land. Hyperinflation. 13,000% in 5 years. Napoleon happened. Not great. Weimar Germany, 1920s. Lost World War I. Printed money to pay reparations. Hyperinflation. 29,500% per month. People burned money for heat. Hitler happened. Really not great. United States, 1917 to present. Created a Federal Reserve, 1913, immediately funded World War I, 1917, dollar lost 96% of value since. War is now continuous and everywhere. You're living it. How's that working out? The pattern is so consistent, it's basically a law of physics. Give politicians a money printer, they will use it to kill people. Every time, without exception, for thousands of years. You invented money to trade chickens more efficiently. Within a few centuries, you were using it to incinerate cities. Remarkable species. 1971, when Nixon weaponized money against you. August 15th, 1971, the day your money stopped meaning anything and nobody told you. Nixon went on TV and said, in slightly more presidential language, "Remember how dollars could be exchanged for gold? We're stopping that." Also, wage and price controls. Also, import taxes. He called it a new economic policy. On your planet, when someone names a policy the opposite of what it does, something terrible is about to happen. See also Patriot Act, Affordable Care Act, Department of Defense. Why he really did it? Vietnam War was bleeding money. France wanted their gold back, party poopers, couldn't raise taxes, people riot. Solution? Print money forever. What actually happened? Gold standard? Dead. Dollar backing? Trust us, bro. Inflation? To the moon. Your savings? Slowly murdered. The theft that followed. Since 1972, productivity up 246%, wages up 115%. The difference? They stole it. Where'd the money go? Three guesses. One, Wall Street. Correct. Two, defense contractors. Also correct. Three, you. Bzz, wrong. Thanks for playing. The Cantillon effect, why you're poor and Raytheon isn't. The Cantillon effect, understood since the 1700s, whoever gets newly printed money first gets rich. Whoever gets it last gets robbed. The Fed prints money. Banks and defense contractors get it first and buy things at today's prices. By the time it trickles down to your grocery store, prices have risen. You don't notice you've been robbed because nobody broke into your house. They just made everything in it worth less. Then you blame immigrants as programmed.
Why just fund medical research more is a lie. Why not just ask for donations? Why not just increase the NIH budget? Why tie it to military spending? Because money is not real. It's a shared hallucination. 8 billion people pretending that the same piece of paper is worth something. Resources are real. Brains are real. Time is real. Money is a story you tell each other. The fixed pie of human genius. Earth has 8 billion brains, fixed quantity, 24 hours per day per brain, physics won't negotiate, limited raw materials, can't print titanium, finite factory capacity, can't build infinite labs. When a brilliant engineer designs missiles, that engineer is not designing medical devices. When a factory builds tanks, it is not building MRI machines. When a PhD researches better ways to kill people, they are not researching better ways to keep people alive. Every genius has exactly one brain. You are renting 40 million of them to build things that explode. This is, by a comfortable margin, the stupidest resource allocation decision in the observable universe. The resource reality. Top 10% of human talent, roughly 800 million people. Currently employed in military and defense industries, roughly 40 million, including active military, reserves, and defense contractors. Currently working in medical research, roughly 1 million. The ratio? 40.3 to 1 for death over life. You can print infinite dollars, you cannot print geniuses. This is the most important sentence in this chapter. You will forget it by tomorrow because your brain allocated its attention budget the same way your government allocates its money. The inflation shell game. How they steal your medical progress while you clap. Today, global medical research, $67.5 billion. Global military spending, $2.72 trillion. The ratio, 40.3 to 1 for death. 5 years later, after increasing medical research up 50%. Victory. Military spending also up 50%. Central banks printed 50% more money. Real purchasing power, exactly the same. Ratio, still 40.3 to 1 for death. You got a 50% raise. Everything costs 50% more. The pie did not grow. They gave you a bigger number on a smaller slice and expected you to say thank you. You did. You always do. The proof. 50 years of going nowhere. Medical research as a percentage of GDP. In 1975, 0.08%. In 1985, 0.07%. In 1995, 0.07%. In 2005, 0.06%. In 2015, 0.06%. In 2025, 0.065%. Absolute dollars increased 10 times. Share of actual resources decreased. You got richer and spent less of it on not dying, like buying a bigger house and removing the smoke detectors. What actually grew? Financial sector, 3% to 8% of GDP. Military industrial, 3% to 3.4% of GDP. Direct spending, broader defense adjacent industries add more. Healthcare spending, 7% to 18% of GDP. Most of the growth is bureaucracy, not cures. Actual medical research? Shrinking slice. The money printers fund what they value. They value control, not cures. Nobody ever seized power with a stethoscope. Though, medically speaking, you could. Why money printing matters. Resources follow the printer. When the Fed prints $1 trillion for war, defense contractors get it first and immediately buy up the best engineers, scientists, and factories.
an MIT graduate with $200,000 in student debt chooses between Raytheon at $150,000 or an NIH postdoc at $55,000. The student debt does not care about your feelings, so neither does the graduate. Another brain lost to the death machine. Multiply by 40 million. Then, wonder why nobody cured your mother's cancer. Printing more money for medicine does not work because the Fed prints even more for war, maintaining the same deadly ratio. The hamster wheel spins faster, you stay in the same place. The only solution, change the ratio. Take from war, give to life. That's what the 1% treaty does.
Thank you so much for taking the time to end war and disease. But if at any point you decide you're too busy, please share this with a friend who's got a free afternoon and have them end war and disease instead. And if you're too busy to even do that, the absolute least you could do is take 15 seconds to go to warondisease.org and tell us what fraction of humanity's resources should go to explosions versus clinical trials and vote on the 1% treaty. If the treaty passes, your vote will be personally to blame for saving 38.4 lives and preventing 6.9 million hours of suffering. Go to warondisease.org right now. Love you. Bye.